Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slams it home. Garland left wing. Three ball. Perfect. Garland running the lane. Locked the Mobley. Pow. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow with the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chasedown Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chasedown is presented by Fubo, the official streaming partner of the Cavs. Watch over 350 channels of live sports and TV, including Bally Sports Ohio, without cable. There's no cost and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com/Cavs. The Cleveland Cavaliers are coming off what I would argue is probably the most disappointing loss of the season, blowing a 26-point lead to the LA Clippers. They had a prime opportunity to get one of these two LA games and really make what I think would be considered a successful road trip if they were to get that game. But now, having lost that game, they could potentially face the seedings drop all the way down to 5 if the New York Knicks beat the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. That means the Cavs have an incredibly important 3-game homestand ahead of them. And joining me today to discuss it all is my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, man.
As you can tell, I'm still trying to gather the words. I'm still trying to gather the words because that
it's just a really rough time. You know, you're looking for signs of life.
Mm-hmm.
Over the stretch, Cavs are 10-16 since the All-Star break. Which is not great, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
They have a negative 4.5 net rating since the All-Star break. The Nets are 2 points better than them. The Bulls are 2 points. The Spurs. The Hawks are about 4 points better. They're actually about 5 points better than them. The Rockets about 5 points better. It's just not happening right now, you know. And you know, we've been talking about how they're running out of time. They're running out of time. All this context, but they're running out of time, and like, it's just starting to get pretty.
The sun's getting low. Honestly,
sun's getting low, and it's getting harder to see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know?
Yeah, and honestly, when the Cavs were up 26 with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, I was sitting there being like, you know what? This is going to be a relatively easy podcast to do because I thought there were positive signs against the Lakers. The starting lineups at least looked good in their minutes together. Darius was taking shots and being assertive. Carried over to the Clippers game, which you want to see. But when you lose and you blow a 26-point lead, there is nobody that is blameless in that. And, you know, it's nobody that is, there's no one person to blame either. And, you know, the funny thing about, you know, looking at the positives from those two games is, you know, when you don't punctuate it with the win, it can be really hard to take those positives as an athlete and move forward and carry them forward to the next game. Like those good habits you build, it's always possible that there is a backslide after that. And, you know, certainly from a fan standpoint and for myself, there's an emotional backslide. Like I would have been feeling really good if the Cavs came out and they beat the Clippers and they found a way to win that, even after blowing the lead. if they were able to close out in those, you know, final 5 minutes and get a win there, you could say, okay, you had a great half. Things were rolling offensively. You kind of took your foot off the gas. Some of those bad habits came in where you slowed down the pace and you let the Clippers back into it. Some ridiculous shot making as well. But at least you found a way to go out and win. And unfortunately, they weren't able to do that. So now, as I said, if the Knicks beat the Bucks today, that means the Cavs are in five. If they don't, they're in four. But really, looking at the remaining schedule, you have to win all three of these games to really feel good about your chances of getting home court.
And you probably have to beat Indy if you want to hold on to five.
Potentially, yeah.
They're a game back, and they'll have the tiebreaker if they win. They might already, actually. No, they don't. It's 2-1.
Yeah, so...
I think Indy will get the tiebreaker if you lose to them. Mm-hmm. And they're 7-3 in their last 10. They're playing well, so you could really be looking at, you know, in a 2-week stretch going from, man, if things break just right, we have a chance at the 2 seed to falling all the way down to 6. They're not mathematically out of the play-in, but they'd have to lose out and Miami would have to win out.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that would be pretty unlikely, I would say. But yeah, I mean, long live the 2 seed. We hardly knew ye, and home court's looking further away too.
Yeah, they really would have had a chance at, you know, competing for the 2 seed or potentially passing the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, the Bucks still, like, that is still in play should the Bucks lose today, just because of their remaining 4 games. The Cavs would just have to win, you know, 2. If the Bucks go 2-2, the Cavs would just have to win 2 of their games, I believe, to catch them. But that Indiana game, like, we'll get to it a little
Indiana
more in depth.
Closes
later.
At Toronto, at Cleveland versus Atlanta. They very easily could go 3-0 to end their year.
Honestly, both of these teams could potentially go 3-0, and it's going to come down to that Friday game. Like, that's a game that shouldn't matter as much as it's going to. But really,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
that's,
correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, if both teams, if the Cavs go 2-1 and the Pacers go 3-0, won't the Pacers jump them?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. So I'm saying that's a really important game. And, you know, that's probably the last opportunity for the Cavs. Like, if you're looking at this, when we talk about, you know, running out a rail runway to get things back on track and build upon positive momentum, that's really your last opportunity to make a positive impression, right? You're going to have 2 days off here after this road trip, regroup, try to get things right against Memphis on Wednesday, which should be an easier opponent, but we have seen them drop games like that. Take care of business there, have another practice, and then you have kind of your last marquee game of the season against Indiana. And, you know, if they come out and they look strong in that game, I think you can start to have a little bit of confidence. If they don't win that game, it's just going to feel hard because you're not going to have any recent track record that says the Cavs can play a level that can beat one of these top 8 teams in the Eastern Conference. So we can get into that a little more in depth, but I do want to kind of go over this Clippers game because there was a lot of good and then a lot of bad in quick succession. And it definitely caused whiplash for me.
Yeah. Let's jump into it, you know. I'll let you take the lead.
Yeah, so the first thing I looked at, one of the benefits of not doing this podcast directly after the game is, you know, the stats were available to have a look at. In the first half, the Cavs had a pace of 109, and matching the eye test, in the third quarter, that dropped down to 92, fourth quarter, that dropped down to 90, and in the clutch, 89.63. And the funny thing is, you look at those last 5 minutes, Cavs offense actually was decent. They had a 133 offensive rating in those minutes. It was the defense that let them down.
And it was Paul George just, you know, getting the line over and over and over and over again.
That aspect was definitely frustrating. But what I was going to say is, even though the offensive results were good, I did not like the process. I did not like how it slowed down. I didn't like how it slowed down, you know, prior to that last 5 minutes as well. Like, I just thought it was grinding down to a halt and making things a little more difficult. And, you know, this is an example of some of those same mistakes being repeated. And, you know, you hope that that's the kind of thing that can be remedied with time, but that's not always the case. Like, that's still Boston's fatal flaw. Like, when they get down in the clutch, their pace drops off off a cliff pretty much. The difference for them is, you know, they have 6'9" shot makers that can kind of make those tough shots. When you're relying on 6'1" Darius Garland or 6'3" Donovan Mitchell, you're making life so much harder for yourselves when you're doing that, right? And it wasn't just in those final 5 minutes. And obviously, you know, Darius gets the blame for that in the second half, because without Donovan, he is the lead initiator, and he's that guy that needs to be, you know, dictating the tempo. I understand second night of a back-to-back, but I just felt like they made things a little too hard on themselves, and it came back to bite them once again.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, I mean, thank you for pulling those pace numbers, because it really does go to show the, you know, more than anything, I almost would rather they start at 90 and end at 90. They are going through these unbelievably wild swings of identity, mm-hmm. and play style. And I think it really goes to show as to why they can't be consistent right now. Because right. I don't really think they're a team that's playing like they know who they are, you know? And you know, there have been Cavs teams that have been able to talent their way through that. That is not this Cavs team. No one is in good form, and they aren't playing with any sense of purpose or belief. And like, when you're not doing anything, either of those things, like, you know, I would rather them, and you know where I stand on the team's pace, I'd rather them start at 90 and end at 90 and know that that's what they're trying to do. Because what I'm seeing on the floor right now and in this game was a team that was, really sticking it to the Clippers for the entire first half. And then the Clippers said, we're going to ratchet it up and we're going to dictate the game to you.
Yeah. And that's one of the signature things. That's one of the signature things when you talk about playoff teams and the teams that advance in the playoffs, is they have an identity. They dictate the terms of engagement. They dictate what pace the game's going to be played out, what the style is. Like, that's where you want the Cavs to get to. And it just seems that, you know, since the All-Star break and with the absences, trying to reintegrate pieces and everything, they have not been able to get to that point where they are dictating the terms of engagement. And I think that's the best way to say it, is they're just not playing with an identity, with a consistent identity. And, you know, it wouldn't be frustrating if I didn't think they couldn't do better, right? And it's even more frustrating when you see those examples within each of these games where, you know, you start off well against the Lakers, you start off well against the Nuggets and the Suns, and your starters play really well, and you get out to a 26-point lead against the Clippers. Most first-half points you've scored all season, and you do it, you know, without Donovan Mitchell. That was a great sign. It felt so good to see them come out and do that, and then it's just the backside. It's just not being able to sustain that, and that has to be the expectation. You have to recognize what is going well and continuing to go back to that, right? Like, that's one of those traits of a successful team, is identifying your strengths and really sharpening them, making sure that those are your go-tos. When things start to slip, because basketball is a game of runs and momentum is such a big part of it, when those instances occur, you go back to those strengths. And I just don't think that the Cavs are doing a particularly great job of doing that right now.
No, they're not. And that's, And it's why they're not winning any games. You know, it's that, you know, it almost, I was sitting there watching that Lakers game. I was like, this kind of feels like when the team was really, really bad in like Darius's rookie year, where you'll see 7 or 8 minutes of stretches where you go, oh, that's the vision. It's kind of that food that kind of keeps you alive, mm-hmm. during the lean times, is those little 7-8 minute stretches. But then you lose a lot, because you can't win games you can't only play 19 good focused minutes a game in the NBA.
yeah,
you're going to lose. You know, you need to, you really need to be, you know, commanding, you know, 34, 35 minutes a game of really solid play. Because, you know, other teams are also going to, you know, they have something to say about it. You're never, very rarely are you just going to get a wire-to-wire 48-minute domination.
Yeah. And it's especially just not against the teams that we actually care about the results with, right? Sure. Like the Clippers and all these playoff teams, that those are the ones you want to measure yourself against. That they're not just going to roll over and let you have 48 minutes.
Yeah. So, like, but again, I'm just not seeing the team... They're not able to stack successes right now. When they yep. do play a 6-minute shift, they right now they kind of have a tendency just to literally throw away everything that was working. You know, sometimes it's not even like the other team they're playing is making an adjustment. They just kind of stop doing it, mm-hmm. or they stop believing in each other. You know, you'll just see guys looking each other off to ISO. You'll see, you'll see lack of comms on defense. You'll just see slop, and yeah. You just can't afford, like, this is a team that, you know, I think what I'm so disappointed about is the fact that's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing a team that is gritting and grinding and fighting and just doesn't quite have enough juice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're losing games they should win. They're blowing leads they should keep. They're not staying connected to other teams that are in good form.
Yeah.
You know, it takes one haymaker right now to send this team to the mat. And
they're
really
not connected on the defensive end, right? Like, that's yeah. kind of one yeah. of their primary identities. And, you know, you talk about not necessarily trusting one another on the court or you know, not making the right pass right away. That was one of the hallmarks of that successful run that they had, you know, the 18-2. The ball had momentum, the right play was being made, and guys were being trusted to make those right plays. And that's another one of those examples of, you can build up good habits, but do those habits sustain when adversity strikes, when things become more difficult? Are you going out and you're executing in that? And the answer right now is no.
Brother, I was getting ready to, I was actually thinking about kind of, you know, I always use that little monologue about, you know, culture is actually tested under duress.
Yep.
Not when things are going great. And like, I think, I guess maybe last year's playoffs, you would say this too, but I think this is one of the first times that I've seen the culture be tested and the Cavs not come close to meeting the mark, you know, mm-hmm. not able to still fight and figure it out, not just be the sum of their parts, but being the less than the sum of their parts, you know. And you can point to all sorts of stuff. Like, the starters had another good game today. I think they had a plus 12 net rating in their 15 minutes today. They were plus in the last two losses as well. But, you know, it's just like,
the 48 minutes aren't there.
You can find little pockets of play that are exciting. And, you know, obviously in a game where you're up 26, there's way more pockets of that. And I think if the Cavs had won their last three and lost this one, I think that would be where you'd get the classic chase down nuance, where everyone else is pissed they blew a lead, but we're like, okay, yeah, that sucked, but here are some interesting things to pull from. It's just really hard, you know, yeah. when you know, they needed this, man. They needed this. They had it, and they lost it.
If they won this one, you could pretty much confidently say, hey, they're probably a home court team. They would just have to, you know, beat the Grizzlies and beat the Hornets, and that's going to be enough to do it at this point. And you could potentially catch Milwaukee, right? Like, the little stats and, oh, hey, this lineup's working and stuff like that, that's the stuff that you can look at in December and say, hey, this is a sign it can turn around. This is a sign that, you know, the most important parts, those core parts, are working. And, you know, certainly they can turn it around, but we're not seeing those signs at this point, right? Like, and there's really only this 1 week, three games to kind of get things, the ball rolling and getting momentum in the right direction.
Can I ask you this? Is there any outcome in these final three games that would make you go like, all right, I think they've got something going into the postseason?
I would think that it's possible. I would not be able to talk with certainty. Like, I, at this point, that's, you know, that's not our podcast to begin with, where we're just, you know, making bold statements of, hey, everything's going to work out and whatnot. I think they can put it together. It's just, man, like, I'm not going to feel with that any level of certainty that it's going to come together, just because the consistency isn't necessarily there, right? Like, three games, even if they come out and they have a great game against Indiana, you're still going to have questions of what's going to occur against this type of matchup. What's going to happen when teams do this? How are they going to respond to physicality? How are they going to respond to a team that is looking to push the pace? Like, all of those questions are going to exist. And, you know, again, just because, like you said, this is one of those moments where they aren't rising to the occasion. They're not meeting adversity head on. And, you know, it's one of those moments that test the culture. You can have those struggles and bounce back from them and say, hey, enough is enough. We've been putting some positive momentum together, but we just haven't been able to get these wins. Let's shut some people up. Let's win these three games and let's go into the playoffs strong. That can absolutely occur. It's just like, you're just not going to have a high level of confidence as a fan that it's all going to come together. Obviously, the hope is going to be there. Optimism is the name of the game when you're talking about myself. But also, I like to practice realistic optimism, right? Which is, you know, not getting my expectations out of whack so that, you know, the disappointment as a result of that completely skews the analysis.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
I think for me, and I think that's a very fair answer. You know, I think there's some people who will be like, "Ah, there's nothing. It's, you know, just nothing they can do other than like making a miracle playoff run or whatever." I think there is something to the fact that right now, I think in terms of evaluating their form, I think they are the worst of all. I think they are in the worst spot of all the East teams in the playoff race, with the exception of the bottom two play-in teams.
You mean current form heading into the playoffs, correct?
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, I don't think that they would realistically have a great chance at winning a series right now. Yeah. No matter how things kind of shook out above them. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think what it could show me is I think any dreams of them showing me enough to make me feel like, man, maybe if this things just broke just right, they can make a conference finals run. If you get to the conference finals, anything can happen. You know, like those kind of conversations, you know, I think those cannot be proved in these last three games of the season. No matter if they won by 40 points a game the last three games of the year, I wouldn't have changed my mind on that front.
Right.
Where I do think they can change my mind if they come out and take care of business these last three games is, are you able to beat the lower to middle class teams of this conference? Because if you look at the point differentials, Orlando, Indiana, Milwaukee, all those teams are all living in the same functional differential town. Cavs are plus 2.4, Pacers plus 2.5, Magic plus 2.3, Bucks plus 3.1, Knicks are plus 4.4, which is pretty damn good, by the way, for a team with one less win than us so far this year. But with all that said, like, I think if they take care of business there, I can find a spot to be like, okay, if they get a favorable draw, if things go right, if they take care of their business and play with the belief I know they're capable of playing, then they can win a series. But and I think the counterfactual can also be proved.
Yeah.
Which is, if they go out and get boat raced at home against the Pacers, then, you know, it's probably time to start, you know,
emotionally hedging.
emotionally hedging heading into the postseason, you know? So I do think
there would be a lot of 60 seconds of Sea Bears at that point.
Yeah, versus Charlotte, versus the Pacers, and gosh, who's the last matchup? I just blanked.
No, we play Memphis first. So Memphis is going to be
Charlotte.
Not that we need help, but Memphis is going to be second night of a back-to-back, and we've seen they've rested guys in that spot. So that is absolutely a get-right game. And, you know,
sure, but I guess, hold on real quick. Yeah, let me just get through this. That final three-game stretch, no matter what the season was, I didn't expect to get anything out of that or learn anything out of that. I do think there's now something to learn. Is it what I wanted to be learning?
No,
but there is something I think I will glean from these last three games, or at least I hope to glean.
I mean, we're certainly going to try to, right? Like these are going to be all incredibly important games. Each one of them gives them a chance to, you know, hold their ground and get home court, because, you know, if you're going into the playoffs and you're not at your best form, you at least want to have home court, right? And we saw the flip side of, you know, having a good record going into the playoffs last year, and it didn't change the result, right? Like the struggles that they had still ended up occurring.
Well, let me tell you, Justin, I would rather be having a good record going.
I would too. And that's where I was going to get to, which is right now, we're just so hungry for those signs, right? Like, we're so hungry to see the team that we've seen at various points this season, right? Like, I liked seeing that Donovan was moving better laterally defensively. Like, that was a really, really good sign to me against the Lakers. I think if this was a normal circumstance and the slide wasn't so prolonged, we would say, hey, this is the 15th game in 27 days. They've traveled between each of them. Second night of a back-to-back, no Donovan Mitchell against a very good Clippers team. Like, this would be an understandable situation, but because of how this game was lost, because of the fact that we just haven't seen 48 minutes of sustained good basketball since they beat the Pelicans, I believe. I think that would be fair to say. Like, you know, you can count the Utah game if you want, but for me, like, the last one that really made me feel confident was that Pelicans game. So because it's been such a prolonged period of time, like the normal kind of context and factors that you'd be, you know, taking into consideration as an emotional fan, that's just not there for me, because I want my team to start clicking, right? Like, it's
Pelicans hard. Game was nearly a full month ago too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was
March 13th.
By the way, I still want to take blame. We've talked about this before, but anytime like I'm down and I need a win, I feel like it curses the Cavs. They are 12-17 since I tore my Achilles. Like, it's me. It's my fault. You know how superstitious I am. I almost messaged you when they were up 26 in the third, gloating, because you were feeling down in the dumps after the Lakers game. I wanted to be like, see, here's the win. I told you they'd come out and win this one. Thank goodness I didn't. But you know, I never would have forgiven myself. I would have never forgiven myself. And that was the reason that I ultimately
which goes
held
to
back.
Show you why being superstitious doesn't make any sense, but, cause they lost anyway.
Well, you know, some superstitions work out, Carter, like some things I do religiously and it always ends up.
I was muted. Sorry, guys.
Some superstitions work out And I just feel positive because of them, because, you know, it keeps leading to success. One of those rituals, one of my superstitious rituals, is using Zoom for this here podcast. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
All right.
Sorry, I was muted, guys. I was pouring another a local shout out, a Ripstop Hazy IPA from our boys at Noctara Brewing Company just down the road in Columbus, if you're a fan. Oh, if you live nearby, you like an IPA, you should check them out.
Well, shout out them. You weren't muted to me, so that was a little weird.
Well, I was doing a little inside baseball, Justin, because God knows we got to fill some time. I was not hardware muted. I was software muted to the stream mix.
Gotcha.
With my Go XLR. So,
all right. Well, I'll make note of that in the edit. I think we've doomed enough here. This has been a little sad. Let's get into some of those morsels, some of those things that are working out. Obviously, none of these are going to be pure positive. But I definitely think
yell at us. If you're just tuning in and you want to yell at us, just start at the beginning. You can get all our sadness out. We got to talk about the game somehow, boys.
Actually, I got one more negative for you, which
okay,
is
go ahead.
I forgot about it on the rundown. Let's go with it. The one thing I want to note is I just haven't felt the bigs as much defensively. Obviously, the absence of Isaac Okoro and Dean Wade is going to have an impact. I think we saw, you know, with Isaac being back, that really helped stabilize the bench. You know, the Sam Barrell minutes had not gone well these last three games. Played 21 minutes. They were outscored by 37 points. You know, wasn't hitting from three. And without Isaac Okoro, you just don't really have another option to go to in those shooting guard minutes. And I thought in terms of helping them push the pace, defensive activity, everything that he was bringing, it was really nice to see him back. But overall, I just want to see a little more from the bigs defensively. I just feel like the positioning hasn't been as strong. The communication hasn't been as strong. And
have you dropped the Mobley stat yet?
When it comes to Evan Mobley, you know, big part of defense is ending those possessions. And we've been talking about his leap this year as a rebounder. Prior to this ankle injury, he was getting 11.8 rebounds per game for the season. Since he's returned these last nine games, so big enough sample size, in my opinion, only 7.8 rebounds per 36 over these last nine games. And, you know, in isolation, like the Lakers one, I was fine with, because, you know, he's out in space, he's defending LeBron a ton, just not in prime defensive rebounding position. But I think this is a long enough stretch where I'd like to see him get back to ending those possessions on the board and being the force that we saw earlier in this year.
Yeah, it is a slight spot of regression in, you know, and again, this is where we have to kind of hold ourselves accountable, because we were cheering for his you know, his progression. Yep. On the boards the first half of the year, the team's progression, the way they were cleaning the defensive glass. Where do you think the Cavs are in rebound rate post All-Star break, Justin?
23rd?
26th. Where were they pre All-Star break, Justin?
8th?
9th. You're really good. You're always good at guessing. It really goes to show the degree to which you're trolling around the stat pages every day.
You know, day job, I am a research analyst. So this is that's right in my wheelhouse right there. But you're right. Like, I think it's always important for us to bring up both of these sets. Because like I said, the podcast isn't us sitting here saying, hey, everything's going to work out and all that, right? Like, it is showing both sides and giving the reasons why we believe what we believe.
Can I tell you real quick? I was, bedtime took too long, so I couldn't get this in, but I was considering starting the pod with the beginning of the Dracula musical from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It's getting pretty hard to believe things will get better.
And that is a great impression. I don't know if I've heard that from you before.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I couldn't quite get it done in time. I was considering that as my cold open to the pod.
I like it. I like it. That would have been a lot of fun. Thank you for letting us know that you almost did something great. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
one of the things that I definitely found encouraging with these two games is that Darius was being more assertive. We've been wanting to see this for a while. He took 47 shots in these two games. Four previous games, he combined for 43 shots, so even fewer than these last two games. And one of the things that we talked about on the last podcast that I said I wanted to see him add to his game is that mid-range pull-up, coming off the screen and taking those free throw line jumpers. I feel like he's taken more of those these last two games. I didn't pull the shot location data there, but I feel like he's starting to do that, and it's been opening up those opportunities at the rim. Yeah, you're seeing him take the threes. I just like his assertiveness on offense, both in the game with Donovan and this game. And if you're looking for, like, what can turn things around, we know that an assertive Darius Garland that's effective and making shots can raise the floor of the offense. And that's the type of thing that, hey, can this continue for three more games? Because if Garland's doing this for three more games here, that's going to, you know, start to turn the dial of playoff confidence of, hey, maybe we can put this together. The other thing is obviously going to be the health of Mitchell, but right now this is what we have, and, you know, at least it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I thought, again, like, if you can't really trust the finishing, which I just don't think you can right now.
Nope.
You know, had a couple nice rim attacks that just kind of, we wasn't able to even convert tonight on a night where I thought he was quite good as a scorer. But the mid-ranger has always been something he's really good at. And it also, I think it opens up a path, much like the three-point volume does. I think it opens up a path for him to get cleaner rim looks. Like, if guys are lunging at him from 15 feet out, that means he's not attacking a defender whose momentum is, because again, his burst really hasn't been there right now. So, when the defender is keeping pace with him or on balance, the size differential sure starts to show up. Mm-hmm. But when a defender's momentum is going forward and he can use his change of direction speed to get past him, you know, he had a couple of those finishes today where, you know, defender was flat-footed or trying to close out and he was just able to blow past for an easy layup. Like, again, I just think when the touch isn't there, he needs to find inroads to cleaner and easier finishes. And hitting two or three mid-rangers in a row, which he's capable of doing, I think opens those doors a little bit, or for easier internal passes where he's not trying to, like, fit it through a millimeter window that the big still has to go down around his ankles to get and try to finish once the defense has already recovered onto them. You know, I just think it's a clean and easy shot. You can't build your whole diet out of them, because eventually, you know, the numbers just stop working in your favor. But, like, I thought he, you know, he pushed the mid-range button at a pretty reasonable rate tonight, and I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, you look at the shot making in the clutch, right? Like, he hit the mid-range pull-up, he hit the three, and the shots that didn't work out is, you know, attacking the rim without that hesitation, without getting the defender to come up so that you can get to the rim and throw off their timing of the shot blocker, right? Like, it's Paul George coming in from behind it and blocking it out of bounds. The one thing that just cannot happen is the lost ball turnover that he had at 4-11. Cavs were up 108-102. No real like a little bit novel pressure, and just lost the handle and turned the ball over. Goes from
they got a great lead to a stop. They got a great stop the possession prior, and then George gets a wide open dunk.
Yeah, at the very least, you need to get a shot in that situation, and you never want to blame it on necessarily one play, but that is such a momentum killer. That gives the Clippers so much life, because you go out and you get a bucket there, all of a sudden you're up eight, right? Like, and you're feeling so much better about your ability to close that out. And yeah, it sucked that the Clippers were hitting tough shots and whatnot, but those are the type of mistakes that ultimately cost them. Like, I'm more comfortable assigning blame and responsibility in those spots rather than just being like, man, Amir Coffey hit his first shot of the game with 47 seconds left, and all these tough contested shots were hit. Like, yeah, Paul George is going to do that, but that's why you build a cushion. That's why you get out to a 26-point lead, because you understand that these great players are going to hit tough shots, and sometimes you can't control that. All you can control is the parts you're responsible for.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's frustrating, man. It's just you just can't give up that turnover, and it's like, again, none of this is a problem if not everything is all, similar to how they're not stacking successes, they're kind of also stacking bummers, mm-hmm. And like dribbling off your foot up 12 is, who cares, it's like, oh hardy har, what a silly mistake. When the Clippers are bearing down and you're doing everything you can to hold them off, it's like, God, can we get a break? Yeah. So, ultimately, I do think Darius had a much, much better game than he's had as of late. I didn't feel the turnover. He had five turnovers. Other than that one, I wasn't like, oh, what a horrible game, ball control Darius game. I thought he was fine.
I will say, whether it's Darius, whether it's Donovan, LeVert, they got to be a little more cautious right now, because you can tell that Jared Allen's a little worn down. I think they need to be a little more cautious about kind of force feeding him in the paint, because too frequently they're throwing him the ball when he has position. And normally, like, when Jared is, at 100% and he's playing his best basketball, he's coming to the ball, catching it, and then turning and getting aggressive. Right now it feels like too frequently he's kind of out there just kind of reaching for the ball, and whoever he's kind of posting up is able to deflect it and break that up. There's a lot of turnovers in those instances, and I feel like that's where you're seeing a lot of these live ball turnovers from some of the guards, is he just doesn't seem to have it as much, and it's force feeding. Like, there's times, I think there was a possession where Darius did that, where he could have had an easy kick out to the corner, and I believe it was Max there, right? Like, make those passes rather than trying to force feed it on the interior, because honestly, there's probably just a little bit too much Jarrett in their offense right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the Dunker Spots, really excellent and actually pretty optimistic breakdown of the Cavs. Maybe we'll be less so after these past couple games, in their East breakdown. They talked about how Jarrett's led the team in total points post All-Star break. At least he had like a week ago,
And yeah,
it's just a burden that you probably is a little bit too much. If you were watching the live stream, you saw me smiling while Justin was talking there about Jarrett. It's because I was thinking about, remember in The Last Dance, when Rodman got asked Phil for his vacation to go to Atlantic City and just go party for like 48 straight hours, yeah, or go to Vegas or whatever it was, and then just came back to the team like fully bought in. It's like, kind of feels like Jarrett needs that to go play Pokemon. Just give him 48 hours, let him completely disconnect, unplug, and come back ready to go. You hope that you can get a little bit of that going into the postseason for this team. It's funny. I was thinking about this as well, and this is probably a little bit of a diversion from talking about the game, so feel free to corral us back. I almost wonder if you're the coaching staff. You're going to have about, when does the regular season end? It's the 13th, right?
14th.
14th. You're going to have 5 days until the first playoff game, and I think in ordinary circumstances, you're like, all right, season's over, let's go in and film review and drill. I almost wonder if I'm the coaching staff, I'm just like, coaches, we're going to go work, but players, take 48 hours.
Yeah.
Go hang out with your families. Don't think about basketball for a minute and just reset a little bit. Reset your mental and emotional and physical clocks for 48 hours. It's like the equivalent of shutting off your PC for a day and letting it just cool off before you turn it back on. Just to see if that can kind of kickstart things and get people excited to be back in the gym. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. And, you know, I was thinking about that emotional reset. Like, obviously, your joke is funny, but I was like really thinking, okay, is there an opportunity here? Because you think about it, obviously, they're flying back to Cleveland today or tomorrow. Who knows when they're doing that? But they're traveling back to Cleveland. And if they take care of business, if they win these next three games, I still feel good about their ability to get home court. Like, just looking at the matchups and whatnot, I think they would end up as a home court team. That would effectively mean you have 16 straight days in Cleveland. You're not hopping on a flight. You have the opportunity, you know, 2 days before this Memphis game. Then it's, you know, a day off.
I'm so grumpy they lost, because now that's so in jeopardy.
Right. Like, you're getting a good chance to have some rest, to be at home, even without that, right? Like, you have the 5 days after the 14th. You're going to have an extended period of time in Cleveland where you're not hopping on a flight. And I just think, you know, if there's going to be an opportunity to have that reset, to kind of rally for the veteran voices like Donovan Mitchell, like, you know, Darius trying to step up in that role, Tristan, Marcus Morris, all these guys, Max Strus, George Niang, who's been there. This is that moment where you really lean on those veterans to be like, all right, it's now or never. Like, it's now or never. We've done it for 24 minutes in these various games, but we just can't sustain that. Let's lock in. Let's treat every one of these games with seriousness. Let's make an impression, and then hopefully we can build upon that. Because you're right, like, the mistakes are being stacked more than the successes right now, and that's just not a winning formula. And it leads to a point where optimists like us are sitting here being like, man, I'm not too confident heading into the playoffs unless I see something change.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's, it just feels like this is what's so hard about team building in the NBA is you need so many things to be going right, and you need the stuff with your team to be going right. At the same time, a bunch of environmental stuff is going right, you know? And I think what's so disappointing about last year's postseason, where an 8 seed makes it to the finals and all the top teams are floundering, including the Cavs, by the way. Mm-hmm. And this season, where the Cavs are able to, might fall to 6, where every other team around them is playing horribly, except Orlando. And even Orlando's had a couple stinker losses as of late. No one's playing well. The East is as open as it's been. If the Cavs had maintained...
Bucks just blew a lead against the Knicks and are down 8 with 5 minutes to go, right? Like, Friday, honestly, like, the Knicks, Bucks, and Magic all losing games that you would have assumed that they won on Friday, like, opened the door for them. They really gave them the potential that if they won this Clippers game, you could feel great about... Honestly, you'd feel great about passing the Bucks because, you know, if Milwaukee loses today... They have a remaining schedule of Boston, Orlando, and the Thunder. If they go 2-2 in that stretch and the Cavs go 3-0, we pass the Bucks. Like, we pass the Bucks. They might not go 2-2, especially when you look at their current form. Like, you know, obviously that's going to depend on who Boston plays and whether or not Shea is healthy for OKC, but that game is going to matter for them. But the Cavs just have to, you know, lose two fewer games than the Bucks the rest of the way out of their remaining four, and they will pass Milwaukee because of that tiebreaker. So, you know, the opportunity is there, and that's what makes it frustrating. It's frustrating because and we've like, seen them play better, and the opportunity is there.
If they had maintained even like 90% of their form from January and February, even if they, you know, you're not going to just keep going at an 18-2 pace for the rest of the year. That was not going to happen. If they had maintained that, I think we would be pretty sure we were making an Eastern Conference Finals run this year. Milwaukee is a mess and trying to find themselves. New York lost their second best player for the year, and their third best player might not be coming back for the year. Orlando is about to go into their first postseason. Miami is as lost as they've looked in a long time. Embiid is coming off of injury. Like, the East isn't gonna be this open next year.
Yeah.
Or likely won't be, you know, and it won't be as open as it was last year. So it's like one of these things where whether the Cavs just blew it or they weren't healthy enough or they weren't ready yet on their developmental cycle, you know, it's just a bummer to see them kind of miss. Like, if I feel like if there's any anxiety I have right now long term, it's that they might have just kind of missed their window, because New York, if assuming, you know, OG's problems aren't long-term and Randall's problems aren't long-term, that's a terrifying team next year.
Mm-hmm.
Philly has max cap space this summer. Miami is always terrifying and always has a chance to get better. So, like, you know,
miss the window of opportunity is what you mean, right?
Like, it might not be this easy ever again, and they're stumbling into that opportunity. And that's a tough pill to swallow. And, you know, that doesn't really... None of that stuff really impacts how good they are on the court, you know, and like, but it does feel like a missed opportunity for those that really do believe in what this team is building.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, you might have it where everything is clicking next season, right? Like, you make some tweaks, you get the internal development, and everything just ends up hitting and everything works, but you don't go as far as you hope because all these other teams improved and they
everyone else is developing too,
right? Exactly, right? So these kind of windows can be so important, and I completely agree. That's what makes it frustrating. It's what one of those things that makes me happy that I'm not a decision maker and I'm not the one trying to figure this out, because, you know, it's I'm emotional enough as a fan without having that part of the responsibility. Other thing I'll mention, we forgot to get to it, but I really would have liked to have seen Karis inbounding the ball at the end of the game. I would have, especially with Darius, you know, hitting some shots. You'd want your kind of two best shooters that were on the court, because you weren't allowed to make any substitutions after, maybe you could have made a substitution at
that
point.
You could have. They got blocked out of bounds.
That's right. But of the guys that were currently on the court, I think Karis inbounding or even Mobley and having both Max and Darius as outlets there would have been really nice to have. It just one of those small little things that surprised me in the moment.
Yep. It didn't. I won't lie to you, man. Once Coffee hit that three, I was like, meh.
I was in the exact same boat.
Or I'm sorry. Once George hits that jumper, I'm sorry. I was like, I just don't really believe that we're going to get a great look off because they just haven't done it enough as of late. And again, this is where, you know, you watch a team even a beat up team like Miami that is playing not worse than the Cavs right now, but not great.
Yeah.
You know, but when they are in, you know, nut cutting time at the very end of the game, they just are like, okay, we know what we need to do. And it kind of feels like the Cavs are still guessing, still trying stuff out. And that's just not what you want at this point of the year. You know what else? I have another somewhat of a bummer take. I know our positive takes lasted like five
minutes. I was about to wrap, but yeah, go for it.
Here's a thought, because Marcus Morris played 13 minutes tonight, and I was watching, and I was like, man, I just, you know, I thought I'd feel him more, especially on defense. I thought I'd feel the physicality. And I was getting ready to hold that against Morris a little bit. Be like, oh man, he's not really been what I thought he was going to be or hoped he might be at the best. Mm-hmm. I think it just goes to show, because I remember feeling this way about, you know, the really rough Cavs teams, you know, in between the LeBron eras and things like that. Because, you know, you'd have AC kind of begging them to be physical, begging them to make teams feel them. And something that I was thinking about with regards to kind of what's plaguing the Cavs right now is that they're not connected enough to be physical. If you're not in position, if you're not already playing good scheme basketball, you can't bump guys. You can't hit guys. Mm-hmm. You can't dig that elbow in to the side on to jam the screener, because you're already having to switch or you're trailing two or three steps behind.
And if you do it, you get called for the foul because you're not in position and it becomes that much more evident.
Yeah, you can't do... If you're not playing connected defense, if you want to be physical, really what you're saying is you want to be cheap shot artists. You want to do dirty stuff. And I never have wanted the Cavs to do dirty stuff, because I don't think that's winning basketball, let alone, you know, aligned with my ethics. But like, you can't do the kind of tweener, nasty physicality stuff when you're just not touching the guy you're guarding that much. And it kind of feels like that with the Cavs right now. There's not a lot of physicality because they're not even in a position to do that. And I think I was getting ready to be a little frustrated with Morris and be like, oh man, I feel like he's coming in three steps behind the play. So, you know, he's not providing the edge I was hoping. The defense, the team defense enables roughness and physicality. And they are not playing well enough to enable it.
Yeah, and especially at a time where, you know, the physicality has changed in the league, right? Where we've seen since the All-Star break, you are allowed to be a little more physical. For this to be the time where the defense isn't in position and not taking advantage of that, when from a roster construction standpoint, that should be kind of one of those bread and butter things. And honestly, like when you look back 2 years ago on that initial run that they had, defense was the calling card. That was when, you know, the NBA was allowing a little bit more physicality and they were trying to get rid of some of the grifting to get to the free throw line. And Cavs are going straight up. They're physical. They had the three towers out there and it was working. That is being allowed now, and they're just not taking advantage of that. So it definitely is disappointing. I agree with it. I don't have much to add there other than your ethics are a little bit better than mine. I was definitely...
You're damn right they are.
I was definitely someone that became a little bit of a cheap shot artist every time I got grumpy, which, you know, not proud of, but I'm at least comfortable to admit it. I'm just a bad person, but we will
no,
be
you're
back.
Not, buddy. I like to think you've grown.
Maybe just a little bit, but you know, if enough of a run happens, I'm it's like hockey. I'm getting ready to put the enforcer in. Someone just swing on someone. Let's get this going. So I'm not fully evolved, but we will be back after Wednesday's game and probably predominantly breaking down the matchup against the Pacers. They'll be coming up on Friday, so. Big thanks to everyone that tuned in live on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe. Click notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast and you want to support us, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of Chase Down's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Cats. We'll be right back.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.